Welcome to the Building PA Podcast, the voice of the construction industry throughout Pennsylvania. Here are your co-hosts, Chris Martin and John O'Brien.
Hello, and welcome to the Building PA Podcast. I am co-host John O'Brien from the Keystone Contractors Association, coming to you from a field trip day. We are in Sicklerville, New Jersey, at the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters Dive School. This place is awesome. It's a true hidden gem. We're gonna post videos, pictures, you name it. You know, we got it all covered here, but joined as always by co-host Chris.
He's jumping out of the
There's so many things I want to talk about here, John. You're absolutely right. It is a hidden gem, and it's kind of weird as we're driving here. It's kind of in the back. It's tucked in like around a bunch of townhouses, an office complex, and then all of a sudden there's this really amazing facility with this
on a lake,
quarry-sized lake with we saw a beaver. I mean, it was really cool. I mean, it's all this stuff. But hi, everyone. My name's Chris Martin, and co-host with John on the Building PA Podcast. And today, as John mentioned, we're talking to carpenters in New Jersey, and joining us right now is Don Gibbons, who is a commercial diving instructor. Welcome, Don.
Good morning, John.
Yeah.
How are you?
We're doing good. Yourself?
Beautiful day. It's a great day to visit our new facility here.
It is.
We're super excited to have this place.
This is awesome.
Yeah, you should be. It's a really cool place.
I'm 2.5 miles from here. This is great.
Nice.
Oh.
Travel for almost 20 years of my career here. I sit 2.5 miles from home.
Beautiful.
Are you going through withdrawal or anything that's like...
Every once in a while, there's like, I miss being outside freezing or sucking the summer heat in August with no air conditioning or shade anywhere. You know?
So with that said, though, living 2.5 miles away, commercial dive instructor, do you ever just kind of be like, you know what, I just need to go get in the water?
Just last week, we did an underwater inspection here where I put some scuba gear on and got some good video of the setup we have underwater. We're getting ready to start our ADCI program, and we want to get an understanding of what's down there, what exists, what the potential dangers are that we can't see. So an inspection is kind of the first step to that, identifying what's there, what the potential is, and good, bad, pros, cons, what we can work with, what we can't work with, and just knowing what exists is important. So getting that opportunity with Liam to really just jump in and get wet.
Cool. That's cool.
It is awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that, blow some bubbles.
So how'd we get here, you personally? How'd you get to become an instructor?
Long story short, I had a childhood dream. I had some great people around me that kind of helped push me in that direction. Ed Harris in the movie The Abyss was my start. In the opening scene, and he's burning away. And I thought, as a kid, 1986, that's what I wanted to do. So
that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
That's pretty cool. It's like Top Gun influencing so many kids that want to be a pilot.
I wanted to be a pilot. Amy said, nope, you got bad eyes. I got them corrected. They said, oh, yeah, we accept that, but you're too old now, so don't worry about it.
So we got this other thing that you can do. That'd be kind of cool.
Go the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
Go way up in the sky or go underwater.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you went through the apprenticeship program?
So I went to commercial dive school with Divers Academy International when they were in Camden. Went down to the Gulf, spent a bunch of years down working in the oil fields. Came back up to South Jersey. Worked here at this facility when it was non-union for about a year and a half. Helped some of our union contractors out with some QC stuff, some quality control for welding. And then they asked me to start an apprenticeship. And here we are.
Here we are. Were you part of the connection to introducing this place to the...
I would imagine a little bit. Certainly, there was a lot of moving piece parts to all of this. Certainly, having an understanding of what this place was prior to maybe helped in the decision of bringing me in to get things started.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's interesting. As a former student, now you're here being a commercial dive instructor, and... is that something that Ed Harris kind of implanted in your head, or what? You know,
not at all.
No,
certainly life comes full circle, and it's funny when you look throughout your past and how the steps you take change your life 10 years from the future. Mm-hmm. And working here so many years ago, over 10 years ago now, and then going through the apprenticeship and starting from the floor up within the union, and becoming a brother, and then working out in the industry, and then the getting hired by the training fund because I'm a CWI and I do welding qualifications. And then purchasing this place and already kind of being close by and having a familiarity with this place, it just kind of, that's the circle of life. It just came around. And it's a blessing that I live close by. I owned the house before I worked here, and it just kind of worked out that this was my back door.
That's great. Nice. That's great. Good for you.
Yeah.
So your skill set is pretty unique. Like, we were kind of talking about this earlier this morning.
Fairly.
And, well, I mean, just from your experience, I have not met too many people that have worked in the Gulf, worked in the oil fields in the Gulf of Mexico, and done all the things that you've talked about today. It's interesting. So that's a career path that I honestly never even considered. I have a healthy respect, I guess, for water, which is one way to say I'm a little bit afraid of it at times. But having the ability to go underwater, and whether it's concrete, welding, doing those types of things, like, that is such a unique skill set that I don't know that many people that are listening to this really understand that. So can you talk a little bit about, like, what the training is, and what does that really ultimately become?
So we had a conversation earlier while we were giving you guys a tour. Yeah. Continuing education is really the ultimate foundation for being a commercial diver. Yeah. Waking up every day, going to work, understanding that there's something new to learn and the potential is there every day you show up. And then having the mindset to accept that is huge. There is always something to progress on in life. Knowledge is power. Learning new things, having the welding background that I do, kind of helps drive that. So just understanding that every day is a new adventure. Every day there's something to learn. Diving is really the key to that whole equation. You know?
Yeah.
Having a career path that there's technology is incredible. Driving that technology is making things better, right? So trying to learn new ways, create new tools to use, new skills to use, new mindsets to use, the younger generations coming in use the technology far differently than we do. So integrating all of that knowledge and experience, and even from the younger generations that have that knowledge and experience of technology, coming all together is what really drives that. Learn something new every day. And
that's cool.
Throughout my career, again, I've worked for a lot of companies. I've worked with a lot of foremen and superintendents that if you are that individual that loves to wake up and learn something new every day, they're going to help you drive and go down that path. And there's always something to learn.
Yeah.
There's always a class to take. There's always a skill to enhance. Mm-hmm. Always some form of education, whether it's hands-on or theory, that you can really just delve into.
Yeah. Make it your own, too.
Yeah.
Correct. Formulate your own conclusions of whatever you learn, and then create your own environment around that, or tool or skill or knowledge.
Yeah. Earlier today, we were talking about some water projects that are coming or that are in the pipeline coming down the road. Can you maybe touch on them, like the training that they get here, like what sort of work would they do? And in the immediate future, what are some projects coming up? And
so hopefully in the near future, the wind farms offshore would be a huge drive for this facility. Certainly contractors around the country are screaming for divers. It's an ever evolving field with a lot of incoming and even more outgoing. And what we need to do as an industry is really bring new human beings, new people into and kind of integrate them into an ever-evolving industry, one such as the offshore industry with GWO or Global Wind. We have a lot of projects, a lot of big projects here in South Jersey and the Philadelphia greater area that revolve around marine construction for our pile drivers and dock builders. So we want to do a lot with the water that we have, not just in diving, but in our marine construction industry as well. And it helps out both sides. Divers have to be familiar with pile driving and dock building and all the marine construction that works topside. So they can use that then in the water or integrate those same skills and tools all the same.
Yeah. Live in the Harrisburg area, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I watch the news or read the newspaper and I hear about the wind farms and what an eyesore it is and it's horrible for the beaches. Can you retell the story that you told today and explain that? Oh, it's not really an eyesore.
Well, certainly it depends on the distance.
Yeah.
But if we talk about, you know, working offshore in just the marine environment, not necessarily in a river, not necessarily close to land. But as it's understood, the curvature of the Earth is at 12 miles. If these wind farms are at 12 miles, what seems to be at 12 miles to be something so big, or 1,000 feet in the air, the stems of these things are going to be relatively small, almost invisible to the naked eye. So bring it a little bit closer and make it a little bit bigger, 7 miles if they put it halfway. And that eye spectrum, if you look at the ground while you're standing up and you see those marching ants go by, you have to look twice to notice that there are even a line of ants there, and then look even closer to see, make sure there is a line of ants or whatever it is moving. That's kind of the perspective I share with people, that there may be something out there on a perfectly visible day. Not every day is perfect. They're few and far between. And certainly we want to enjoy them when we have them. But noticing those marching ants go by is something that you miss a million steps out of the day, or 9,999 when you're looking at your Apple Watch trying to get to 10,000.
Yeah.
It's just that one point at which you look over the horizon and you see them and you go, oh, those are the wind farms.
Yeah.
Or that's a boat, or you know, some form of marine traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully people do understand that it's an industry that's going to create a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
It's an industry that's going to create a lot of not just working jobs for union and non-union members alike, but the fishing industry is going to flourish because of this.
Yeah.
And hopefully Fishermen's Offshore can help drive some of that knowledge out to the general public that we are creating an industry here, not just one by installing these wind farms and maintaining them, but several others with marine biology and fishing industry.
Yeah, that was interesting when you were mentioning this, the same story, which is great. I love the marching ants, like that makes sense. Like everybody gets their head around that.
Yeah.
But it was flat. I remember earlier this morning when you mentioned that, John and I both looked at each other like, fish.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That makes sense. You know, there's going to be a whole reef area type of component, so it's going to make it, you know, opportunities for so many more things.
Yes.
Which was new to me. Yeah. I thought construction would drive them away and just mess up the habitat, whatever, but complete opposite, give them a home. They come to the home.
Yeah.
See, we talk about so much on the podcast. We're going beyond construction today.
Well, you shared that fact, and here's a fact for you. I looked up here. So we saw the beaver swimming around the water. And did you know beavers can stay underwater 6 to 8 minutes?
That's a long time.
That's what I learned today, that and the fish. So fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Notice there were no fish in there.
No, there weren't.
When I looked down, I'm like, there are no fish.
Yeah.
And then he came by.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Dinner, breakfast is on.
Yeah, I guess. Mother Nature's a wonderful thing. Yeah. But so, Don, tell us a little bit more about what it really takes to be a diver in the Carpenters. Like, what do you look for as an instructor?
For somebody who's coming into this industry, drive is a big one. Understanding that every day is a new experience, a learning experience. One of the biggest tools that divers who make a career out of it have is the ability to adjust, the ability to stay calm in difficult situations, the ability to evaluate the hazards around them or the difficulties that lie in front of them, and then change directions or pivot to something that could create a better environment or change the working situation. If you're having difficulties working a single project or working a single tool or just one small evolution in the whole day, identifying what other tools could potentially make the job easier or what else you could use around you in your environment to help kind of make that evolution easier.
Hmm.
Problem solving.
Yeah.
It really comes down to problem solving.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I don't
imagine.
Like to use that terminology, but adjustments on the move. And,
yeah.
You know, certainly the ability to slow a difficult situation down is difficult, but
right.
It makes a good diver great. It makes a not-so-good diver better.
Yeah.
It makes them able to get through the day or get through a task that maybe they're not as proficient at or new at.
Right.
And then learning, the ability to adjust.
Yeah.
If you're hard-headed, probably not going to go far.
And that's in any industry, too.
Yes.
But again, we're referring to our conversation earlier this morning, but you had mentioned something about the difference. Hey, build off of what you said about problem solving, the difference between a 4-foot swell and a 10-foot swell. Could you share that with our listeners?
So for instance, if you know, our bay here in Delaware Bay area is primarily shallow. We do have a shipping channel that gets fairly deep, but the majority of the bay is shallow. So our sea doesn't get very high working in on the inland side. When you get offshore and you start to work in an environment where your depth gets 60 feet, 100 feet, 300 feet, swells on a beautiful clear day like we have here today, with a slight wind and the right tide, could hit 4 to 6 to 10 feet. And the difference between a 4-foot swell, a working swell, when you're on a large vessel or a large platform, you may not notice it, but a 10-foot swell could change your life in an instant. Yeah. Having experience with that certainly helps in an environment where, if you can have individuals that have been there, done that, so to speak, right, would make it easier for our new generations, our new divers coming into the industry, new workers, marine construction workers. But we shared some stories down there that were not so good stories. And certainly we have a lot of those. Certainly we have a lot of good, successful stories because we're still here to tell them. But understanding the difference between that 6 feet or 5 feet, or the difference between a 4-foot swell, a 10-foot swell, or if the situation gets really bad and weather gets really bad very quickly, which it has the potential to do offshore, you could go from a 4-foot swell to a 16-foot swell. And the potential for injury doesn't just go up, you know, 400 times. That goes up thousands of times, because the situation is now dangerous for everybody, not just right, a single person. So,
yeah.
I don't know if that answered.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And just listening to you talk, and I'm still trying to figure out in my head the different 6-foot difference.
Size of a man.
Yeah. And on top of that, too, it's not just a vertical 6 foot, it's also a horizontal 6 foot.
Yeah, you know, base, and the base of your swell matters too. Yeah.
So just trying to get my head around that, the liquidity of it, yeah. I guess. Man, yeah. I don't even know if that makes sense. I don't know. But like,
I'm following.
Yeah, good, good.
It's far from the course.
Yeah. But, yeah, we don't know what we're doing anyway. So, but like, that whole aspect is something, yeah, that, to be quite honest with you, before we, pulling in here and thinking about coming down here and having our conversations in advance of coming to this dive school, those are thoughts that never entered my head,
yeah,
of all of the things that could potentially impact what's being done under the surface. And it's just really, it's fascinating. It's just incredible. And I don't know how many of our listeners actually would even be able to comprehend that, too. Yeah. And that's not a knock on them. It's just...
Yeah. They're not used to it.
They're not used to it, right. They're all used to being above the surface. So it's just a really, really interesting look into a different part of the world.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, this place is awesome. Yeah. Can't wait to hear more about the class that kicks off this fall, and,
yep,
and about the process.
I'm excited. Can't wait. We've been working really hard on it.
Yeah.
No, we purchased this facility over a year ago now, and it's been a lot of work up to this point, but
that work's going to pay off and see some.
I certainly expect it to.
Yes, absolutely.
It better.
Yeah. I don't go into anything looking to not be successful.
Right.
Well, Don, thank you so much for joining us today on the Building PA Podcast. You literally have put us into a whole different world and given us some insight into those problems, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you
for your time.
Thank you for joining the Building PA Podcast. To stay up to date, follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook, and visit buildingpapodcast.com to subscribe to upcoming shows. Thanks for listening.